Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. Hope you guys are well. Hey, Rochester, what's up? I'm supposed to record something for you later, but in the meantime, 3 to 6 right here on 1280 Rochester. Red Wings fans, this is your spot. After the game, before the game, right here, 1280 Rochester. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Man, we got a good show for you. Eddie House is going to join us 25 after the hour. Just a couple hoop guys talking about hoop. That's what we like to do here. That's how we do us. That's how we roll. I'm excited for tonight. So tonight you potentially have two teams that could be eliminated, both the road teams are favored. This coming off the home teams tonight being road teams and pulling off upsets in game five. Atlanta came from 26 down to win in Philly two nights ago. And the Clippers, I think they kind of led start to finish. They end up beating the Jazz two nights ago to take a 3-2 series lead, even though they don't have Kawhi Leonard. So you have that as the here's the thing. I am a nuance guy. I am a gray area guy. That's who I am. But I completely realize, totally realize, that what we're doing in trying to break down each individual game and matchup and is not the reality of what happens long term. Like, do they say anything about how Peyton Manning played when he won his second Super Bowl, his last game of his career? No, he was awful. By his accounts, I'm sure he was awful. Doesn't matter. Won the game. When the Warriors had a 3-1 series lead and then lost to the Cavaliers, do we point out that Andrew Bogut got hurt? Rarely we even point out that Draymond Green got suspended. What we talk about is the end result. Even the Warriors' last loss in the finals to the Toronto Raptors, sometimes it is discussed that Kevin Durant got hurt. Oftentimes it is mentioned that Klay Thompson got hurt in Game 6. But what's not mentioned is that Durant only played in Game 5, and they still had a chance. Game 6 that they lost without either of them was close. And Kevon Looney didn't even play because he was hurt that series as well. When the Pistons beat the Lakers to end the three-peat of the Lakers, Karl Malone and others got hurt. No one mentions that. We are, in our historic nature, we are result-oriented. And so tonight, tomorrow night, and potentially Sunday night, or Sunday afternoon, all that's going to matter is the results. All that's going to matter is the results. If the Clippers beat the Jazz, it's not going to be about the fact that Donovan Mitchell might not be healthy, Mike Conley might play, might not play. It's going to be an unbelievable couple of wins for the Clippers. And if the Clippers lose, as much as in the short term we'll say, well, they lost Kawhi Leonard, they had complete control of the series, the fact is that historically we don't actually look at that. Nobody's going to care that the Sixers were up 26 points, only that they lost in Game 5. We are result-oriented culture. Like, here are the Bucks. They lost Dante DiVincenzo for the year, but now, of course, they've been helped out by Kyrie Irving spraining his ankle and James Harden up until the last two games not playing. He looked better last night, but still not great. Here's Harden after the game.
Continue to get better, you know, last game, game five, was the first time that I even, you know, did any movement or anything like that since I got hurt. So tonight was no different, you know. So I'm out there to do whatever it takes to win. And I got to be better on both ends of the ball, which I will be in game seven.
I actually believe it. I think you saw progress between five and six. And even if Kyrie doesn't play, you potentially have enough. And you have Kevin Durant. And Harden couldn't buy a bucket at all in the first game that he played. He looked better last night, though still not great. But if the Bucks are to beat the Nets, no one's going to historically care about the litany of injuries that have befallen the Brooklyn Nets. That's just not how we work. Like, look, I could go into the interesting part of tonight's game with the Clippers, and will they still keep throwing Rondo out there, who was just awful last game, in an effort to go small and stay small? I could point out that while up 26, it wasn't the defense, it was the 16 points in the fourth quarter on offense that really undermined the Sixers' ability to close out that game, and free throws, especially when you have Ben Simmons missing 10 of them. All that we ever actually care about is who wins and who loses. I wish it wasn't that way. I wish it was more equitable. I do. And on this show, we will try as hard as we can, to be as fair as we can and point out all the little subtle details. But that's challenging you to be a smarter sports fan and understand that certain a play here, a play there, a foul here, a foul out, an injury, and a matchup can end up favoring a team. And so sometimes you can play really, really well and just get unlucky and lose, or play well because you have an injury, you don't have enough. But none of that matters. If Atlanta beats the 76ers tonight, somebody's going to lose their job or get traded in Philadelphia. If the Clippers beat the Jazz, it's got to be some sort of change with the Jazz, only in that, like, you win all these games in regular season, you can't get out of the second round. And if the Clippers lose two additional games, there's probably a change there, even though it's Kawhi Leonard with an ACL. That's just the reality of it. Doesn't matter how well you played. It only matters if you won or lost. In most sports fans' mind. In front office minds, maybe a little different. But in terms of how it actually works, I would tell you, I would challenge you that if the Clippers or Hawks close out their series tonight, there will be a massive reaction that'll be negative in Utah. Here we go again. That'll be negative in Philadelphia, and so much so both will make a change. Going to be an interesting weekend. We still have the U.S. Open as well. So you got golf taking place down at Torrey. Of course, our man Dan Byers there. Some dude named Richard Bland is winning. He shot a 67 today. Have you guys ever heard of Richard Bland before?
That would be a no.
How perfect is that, though? That a guy winning a golf tournament who we've never heard of, his last name is Bland. You can't write stories like this. You cannot write stories like this. Is your dad's razor older than you are? Get him something new for Father's Day. A DSC 6-blade razor is perfect for an extra close, precise shave. Get one now at a store near you or as part of a gift set at dollarshaveclub.com. All right, a quick look at what happened last night that allowed the Bucks to win, and what type of epic foreshadowing is it for the Clippers tonight? I'll tell you next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, so this is more of a hypothesis than a theory, but Ramos, you can attest to it. My hypothesis is that first game, when you lose a big part of your team, is it's actually harder for the team that's now favored to win. Right, that's the hypothesis, and it worked with the Nets. It worked with the Clippers. Right, both without dudes, And it's hard for that other team to adjust. And when the expectations change, and now all of a sudden you go from hunter to hunted, that's what happened with the Bucks. That's what happened with that's what happened with the Jazz. It changes you dramatically. Now, what we saw last night from the Bucks was they adjusted to the adjustment of the Nets, and now it's in the Nets' quarter to make a further adjustment. I think the Nets' further adjustment is James Harden plays better as he gets healthier, but I also think there's some other things that they can do, and they still have Kevin Durant. My point is that when I look at the Clippers tonight, they're underdogs for a reason, because Utah struggled to figure out, all right, what are they going to do differently now? And basically, they continue to go and stay small and then play through Paul George instead of playing through Kawhi Leonard. So it's the adjustment to the adjustment that is really interesting to me.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Eddie House joins us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Eddie, you see the game at a very, very high level. Obviously, having won a championship, been in the league for a decade, understanding the game at a higher level. Let's start with last night. I'll give you a positive for the Nets. I did think James Harden moved better. I don't know if he's going to move well enough to be to take a major step forward in Game 7, but there was definite improvement from 5 to 6.
Yeah, I seen the improvement. I did see that, but I also seen that he still doesn't have his rhythm. I mean, you got to think about how good his handle is. He fumbled the ball a bunch of times in both of those games. And just getting to his spot, getting into his dribble routine where he creates space to make a shot. So those things right there are the things that, you know, he's moving better, but getting that rhythm is the most important thing for this next game.
No question about it. What did the Bucks do? What were the Bucks' adjustments that you saw?
I'm going to the paint. He put his head down, and I'm not trying to shoot anything else but something close by the basket. I'm not trying to fall in love with the three. I know they're going to give me the three, and we've seen it on plenty of highlights. Last night and this morning, Blake Griffin gave him a grip of space to take that shot. You know, hey, I'm enticing you to take a 15, 16-foot jumper, and he just sucked up that space, used his body and his strength to get to the basket and his length to finish over the top. So I think what Brooklyn has to do, they have to be better help defenders. I think right now, who's ever guarding Giannis is backing up, sagging and giving him that shot. Well, we know he's taking up that space. I think that you have to shrink the floor a whole lot better. I think there's too many gaps for Giannis right now, and if you got to keep him out of the paint, turn him into a guy who's forcing it over one, two, three guys at the rim, or force him to be a playmaker. Right now, he's just having his way, being going. It's almost one-on-one. By the time the help comes, he's already into a shot.
I agree. Like, look, Giannis not taking a three was big, right? He didn't settle. And I felt like they moved him around some, played him at center some. I thought that was smart. I thought Bud made some nice adjustments. Okay, so we go forward to Game 7. Do the Nets have enough?
I think the Nets have. I mean, you got KD, you got James Harden. I think if anything else, I know I've played in a bunch of Game 7s. And at the same time, it's so much fun because you're going to get the best of the best from everybody. You know, everybody's leaving it on the line. It's also nerve-wracking, anxiety, the wait. After the game is over, Game 6, the wait for Game 7, the shoot-around, the pregame and all those things. Until the ball is tipped, until you get out there, you touch the ball in game-time situation, then you lock back in. But I think when you have superstars, you know, people are going to lock in, and it's all or nothing. And when it becomes all or nothing, I think it just makes for great games. I'm always asking for Game 7 all the way around every time because you're going to see the best of the best come out in people. So I think the Nets do have enough.
Okay, let's get to tonight. Sixers, Hawks. Obviously, they Lou Williams went nuts, and Trae Young went nuts a little bit, and they gave up 40 points in the fourth quarter. But more alarming was they only scored 16. Look, their bench isn't very good, but what about the starters? What do you do if you're Doc Rivers? What do you do here heading into the game?
Well, I don't think you could do much more. You know, you got your stars, all your guys that are out there that haven't been showing up. Well, Embiid shows up early on, and it seemed like he gets a little fatigued. Back-to-back fourth quarters have been horrible, deplorable, if you want to, you know, if you really look at it, how he's been missed free throws, missing shots, not taking shots, deferring to other guys. Is that fatigue? We don't know. But he might say it's not, but for me, I believe that is fatigue. Wearing itself out early on, trying to get itself established instead of working into the game. On top of that, you got Ben Simmons, another guy that you're paying big-time money. And I'm not counting nobody's pockets, but these are guys that you are dependent on. You can't go 4-for-14 from the free throw line. You can't be a liability on the offensive end if you're not giving everything on the defensive end. They can't play 4-on-5 offensively every time down the court. And then Tobias Harris is another guy who got paid, who should be showing up, who was mad that he was an all-star snub. And, I mean, he's not carrying his weight. So, as a coach, I don't know what more can you do. You know, maybe have prepared them earlier in the season, more practice time for these situations. But at the end of the day, the onus has to come on the players and say, hey, I got to be better and I got to make sure that I'm better. A lot of people say that the Sixers are the most talented team out of the two. And Joel Embiid is probably the best player. I'm not quite sure that that's the case. I think Trae Young is the best player. Joel Embiid needs to get the ball to him when he's in his spot to be able to go to work, where Trae Young has his ball in his hand 94 feet and is able to make plays not only for himself but for others, and he's doing a fantastic job of it. So unless the players for the Sixers step up to the challenge and put it on themselves, the Hawks could be in the Eastern Conference Championship.
Who do you think wins tonight?
I'm going to go with the Hawks. I'm going to go with the Atlanta Hawks. I just think that these last two games coming back from what they came down from, they believe. And belief is a huge thing in professional sports. You know that, Doug. If your team believes, you might not be the most talented. You might not be the tallest, the biggest, the fastest, or the strongest. But you still have that belief. And everybody from top to bottom believes in Atlanta that they're supposed to be in the Eastern Conference Championship.
All right, let's get out to the Clippers. What was your reaction to Paul George carrying them to a big road win going back to game 5?
I was happy to see it, you know, for getting all the scrutiny, you know, to see somebody bounce back and really put the team on his back like the way he did. He had moments to where you're like, hey, what is this? Is this the moment? Is this the moment where he's going to fold? Is this the moment where he made the one cross-court pass and got stolen, and you just had the rhythm of the game wasn't looking right for him, but he regained it, found it, caught his composure, and was making the baskets and the plays for his team when they needed it most. So I was extremely impressed. I know Paul George is a baller. He could play. But we all know this, is what do you do in the playoffs that takes you from star status to legend status?
Yeah, so Utah, now, Mike Conley might play tonight. I think that makes Gobert better on offense because he's got to play screen roll, and there's nobody really to play screen roll with. Donovan Mitchell, that's not how he plays. But does changing their roster composition, does that help them or does that hurt them?
I'm telling you what, if they have Mike Conley, that helps them immensely because of this reason. Donovan Mitchell was crossing half court, and they were doubling as soon as he crossed half court. He skipped it across court to Royce O'Neal. If that's Mike Conley catching the ball up top, I definitely trust Mike Conley's playmaking ability, scoring ability, facilitating ability over Royce O'Neal all day, every day. And I think that will put a whole different amount of pressure on top of the L.A. Clippers.
It's Doug Gottlieb's show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of that's the voice of Eddie House. Eddie, let me ask you here. Okay, so Dallas has kind of a mess on their hands. What do you think's really going on?
It's hard to it almost looks like Luka's calling some shots to extent. or they're just, hey, it's been a great run with Carlisle and Nelson, and it's time to get a new voice. You know, sometimes that needs to happen. It happened in Boston with Brad Stevens. Sometimes you need to get a new voice. You need to get a new perspective on how are we going to build this thing moving forward. But the one thing that is concerning to me is I'm not sure if I would be an owner. Would I, as much as I know that Luka's a star, at that age, not sure they really understand what goes on in the business of basketball and behind the scenes of putting together a team. So I wouldn't so much defer to them calling all the shots. I would ask them for their input and information, but I wouldn't rely solely on them to be the ones that, you know, dictating to me how I would be moving forward with the team.
Yeah, it's a hard one. What about Zion? Zion not happy, apparently, with the Pelicans. They still have him under contract for 3 years. If you're David Griffin, what do you do?
I think Zion has a legitimate gripe. You're not putting a team out there that's competitive. I think it's total different dynamics for him and Luka. Luka's been in the playoffs, been winning all-star, stuff like that. I think for Zion, this is, you know, very young player. And for him, if he doesn't see, like, hey, we're moving in the right direction, I think for David Griffin, I don't think you can get rid of a guy like that. I think that's, you know, career suicide, you know, to get rid of a guy only a couple years in the league, very young, explosive. We haven't seen a person like him before, you know, with the strength, the size, the ability to jump, the rebounding. Shot blocking, those type of attributes. We haven't seen that. So I think that it would be career suicide if David Griffin got rid of him. They've been rebuilding there for a long time, and you have a cornerstone of a franchise that you could build around. I just can't see how you get rid of it and be able to survive that.
Yeah, I don't see that. I don't see that happening either, right? I don't at all. If I were to ask you best basketball player on the planet, what would your answer be?
On the planet Earth right now, I would have to go with LeBron James. I think KD is right there, but I don't think that he is surpassed LeBron, just because if you look at the skill set, KD is a straight scorer, but does he make players around him better? And that's the one thing LeBron has. He can score just like KD does. Maybe KD a little prettier scorer, more, you know, fluid scorer, you know, with the shot, the jump shot and things like that. But LeBron still ends up with his 40s and his, you know, 50s when he has to, and his 30, high 30s and things like that. But the intangibles as far as the passing ability and the way he elevates his teammates and makes them better, to me, that gives him the nod over KD, though. If I'm at the park and I got and we flipped a coin and I didn't get the first pick and it was them two and I ended up with KD, trust me, I wouldn't be mad.
I think you're going on dated information. I think you're going on a couple years ago. I just don't think he's that dude anymore. You know,
LeBron.
Yeah.
I still think LeBron can make guys better. I still think he can make people better when he's engaged.
But you don't think that. Obviously, they're very different types of players, right? We you and I both agree on that. But you don't think that KD makes his dudes better? Like, is that really? Blake Griffin at this point in time in his career is not great. Jeff Green has been a vagabond in terms of so many different teams for a reason. Like, he's got him competitive, and he's the reason why. Whereas you look at LeBron, and it's not his fault that those guys miss jump shots. But they did miss jump shots, and, you know, by definition, it's can you make guys better?
Well, when you get an open shot, that's really what it is. And as far as Jeff Green and Blake Griffin, it's a residual effect of not KD actually making them better. It's because the defense is shifting and putting so much pressure and so much emphasis on stopping KD. These guys happen to be the guys that are getting the open looks, the easy looks, where LeBron is the guy that's creating the open looks for other people. So to me, that's the difference of when I say making your teammates better. I mean, Joel Embiid gets double teamed, you know, and that went on the pass. It's not anything that he manufactures. It's what the defense created, and he just makes the right play after that. It's okay, he makes the right play, but LeBron is one of those players that just special. He has the ability to pass the ball so well anywhere on the court, and it's always on the money, never really off. So to me, that's what I look at. I mean, that's why I say that. Until KD, if KD wins it this year, then, you know, I got to start saying, hey, we could reevaluate that after watching some of the games next year. But as of right now, you ask me right now, LeBron James, because he makes everybody better around him.
Eddie, great stuff, man. Thanks for joining us. Look forward to watching the playoffs and listening to you and talking to you soon. Really appreciate you being our guest.
Thanks for having me, man. Be cool.
All right. That's Eddie House, who, of course, won an NBA championship playing with LeBron. And look, LeBron guys are LeBron guys. And they're not getting off of that. They're like, this is my guy. I've seen it happen. And we've all seen it. He's been great. He's just, you get to your mid-late 30s, he's not that guy. Meanwhile, by the way, the Phoenix Suns are just out there chilling, right? In a year in which everybody else is banged up, the only thing they have working against them is Chris Paul with the Rona. But, I mean, he wouldn't be playing now anyway. So I'm sure he's working out at a private gym, staying in shape and getting right, getting healthy. He's got that vaccine, so he'll be fine. The question is whether or not he'll be cleared to play. Maybe we're missing on that. Like, all this discussion doesn't matter. The Suns are going to be healthy, plus they're really good. They're going to end up going to the finals. Like, maybe that's the story we should be focusing in on. Hey, forget about all this. The Suns are going to the finals. I do think that for the Nets, it's if they can survive this and get Kyrie back, they'll go to the finals. But if not, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. All right, coming up next, you'll get inside my brain. I know what's going to happen next in the sports world. Don't believe me? I'll prove it to you next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Is your dad's razor older than you are? Get him something new for Father's Day. A DSC six-blade razor is perfect for an extra close, precise shave. Get one now at a store near you or as part of a gift set at dollarshaveclub.com/Doug. That's dollarshaveclub.com/Doug. Let's get to a game.
Game time!
This is game time.
It's game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Isaac Lohenkron, what's the game today?
Well, you should know.
Psychic?
That's why you should know. Now, I warn you. The tape is rolling. Well, not actual tape. The digital tape is rolling.
Sure.
And what you are about to say will be played, right or wrong, most likely right at the beginning of Monday's show. So, psychic, will the Clippers close out the Jazz tonight in Game 6?
No, they will not. No, they will not. I think this thing is going 7. I think you saw Herculean effort, and I think that will change as it'll go back where the Jazz are the better team. Remember, the Jazz can really shoot. They shoot a ton of threes. I think they'll make a bunch tonight. I got the Jazz winning.
And that's because of your hypothesis that you mentioned earlier, correct?
Right, correct.
I don't even think it's a hypothesis. I just think it's been proven so many times. It's a fact. It's not even a hypothesis. Well,
that'd be a theory, right?
Well, where do theories and hypothesis, I mean, what's the cart before the horse here, because we have conspiracy theories out there, but we don't have conspiracy hypotheses.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
That deserves further analysis in the Fox Sports Radio research department. Next item, psychic. Big picture here. Will funny guy Kawhi Leonard opt out in the offseason?
Yes, he'll opt out, but no, he won't lead the Clippers.
All right. Simple enough. We'll be playing that back sometime in July, I believe. Okay. All right. This is a real interesting one, and one of your choices here is not the insurance company he endorses. Will the Phoenix Suns be the last team that Chris Paul plays for?
Well, that's a great question because he too can get out of his contract this year and become a free agent, right? But the answer is yes. I think this is the last team he plays for.
Okay.
Old people go to retire in the desert. They'll probably overpay him for everything that he's done. The last year of that deal will be a bad deal.
So the headline from that, obviously, is Gottlieb calls Chris Paul old and elderly. That's what it's going to be spun on social media.
Sure.
All right, here's another real fascinating one in light of the reports this week. Will Zion Williamson forgo a rookie contract extension with the New Orleans Pelicans?
Yes, I do think he will. I mean, I think that's the nature of who his people are, right? He was going to go to Clemson or South Carolina, and then, boom, he decides, I'm going to go to Duke, right? That's what's best for his brand. And then he was going to sign with a marketing department, marketing company, small time. Then he signed with a bigger one, which he owed the smaller one. He was going to commit to a Chinese shoe company. Then he ends up going to Nike. Like, he's all about whatever's best for the brand.
Fascinating. Just out of curiosity, because that's pretty rare, am I right, for a budding superstar to forego their rookie extension. But the rookie extension locks you into your original team for the first 7 years of your career, because that's how it was with LeBron. Is that correct?
It is correct, but he's still under contract for the first 5 years. So they I don't think they're moving him for two more years to try and prove themselves.
All right. On to the National Football League. Look well into the crystal ball, move aside some of the fog. Starting quarterback, week one of the NFL season for the Green Bay Packers, will it be Jordan Love?
No, it's going to be Aaron Rodgers. I do think he holds out part of training camp, but I don't think he gets moved. I think it's going to be Aaron Rodgers.
So just to confirm, you say it's going to be Aaron
Rodgers! Correct.
All right. It was just an excuse to play that.
I know. I know. I know you well enough.
Yeah, my apologies to you. On to Major League Baseball, where Angel superstar Shohei Ohtani announced today on social media that he will participate in the Home Run Derby during the All-Star break at the vaunted Coors Field in Denver. So, with that in mind, will Ohtani win the Home Run Derby?
Yes, I think he will. And I'll tell you why. You know, some of those guys that are huge home run hitters, it takes them a ton of energy on every swing. And the thing about Ohtani that's so special is it does kind of feel effortless, right? He just kind of turns that foot and turns into the baseball. I think that'll help his conditioning and the fact that he pitches so often. I think it's a conditioning win. Yes, I think he wins the Home Run Derby.
You know, that's a great point, because I actually way back in the day got an opportunity to cover a Home Run Derby in person when it was at AT&T Park, or whatever they're calling it these days, in San Francisco. And when you're there in person, you really realize just how long that event is and how many swings these guys need to take, which is a lot more than they take during an average day during the regular season, and how much endurance you need. By the way, Coors Field previously hosted the All-Star Home Run Derby in 98 during the Maguire-Sosa legendary home run chase. Yes. It was won by neither of them. It was actually won by Ken Griffey Jr. that year.
Who was similarly left-handed and kind of effortless in his swing.
Oh, there you go. Very good. Gottlieb brings it full circle. And speaking of bringing it full circle, let's go back to the NBA. The big news of the day, the Boston Celtics dealing away Kemba Walker and a first-round pick to the Oklahoma City Thunder. So, Psychic, at the end of the day, will the Thunder or the Celtics be known as getting the better end of today's trade, long-term, big picture?
Well, it is a trade. I don't think it's a game changer for the Thunder, but I think their entire plan is a game changer for them, right? Hmm. They get so many first-round picks that if they can't get the one that they want, they can load up picks to get the guy that they want. And they have to, because they can't get free agents. Whereas Boston had to make a move to move off of Kemba Walker. They'll probably also move Marcus Smart, and they'll have to revamp their backcourt. And now they got leadership. Moses is a nice future pick, but they also saved a bunch of money with it.
All right. So, Doug, you know, most of the time when I say anything around here, there's really a hidden agenda to it, and I really have an ulterior motive. So I have a feeling you'll sniff out my ulterior motive here. All right, Psychic, will eventual former head coach of Duke, Mike Krzyzewski, stay retired?
Yes.
Really?
Okay.
I mean, you don't for example, Zion Williamson, everyone's saying, well, the Pelicans should hire Coach K as a special advisor to keep Zion Williamson with the Pelicans. You don't think so? Something like that?
No.
All right, you're not really helping with my ulterior motive here.
Nope. Don't see it.
You don't see him returning, or you don't see my ulterior motive to get you to do your Mike Krzyzewski impersonation for crying
I love Duke. Is that what you want?
Yes. Love Duke? Yes.
I do love Duke.
Okay.
I love it. I love it so much.
Coach Krzyzewski.
The thing about Mike Krzyzewski is once you retire, once you retire and you get retired, you've been doing it a long time. Yeah, I don't think he does television. I think he goes and sees his grandkids and every once in a while pops up on TV, but generally he's done.
So despite my ulterior motive, it turned out that you had an ulterior motive to get some Lou Holtz action in today.
Yes,
gotta flex
exactly
those muscles.
That's it. That's it in a nutshell.
All right, Psychic. Final question. The unquestionable star of the first hour of the program has been U.S. Open leader, the previously unknown Richard Bland.
Richard Bland out of England,
who currently leads the U.S. Open by one shot at 5-under par overall after a 4-under 67 today. Will Richard Bland wind up being in contention in the weekend on Sunday, and will he wind up winning the U.S. Open, Psychic?
Of course not. Of course not. First, what could be worse for golf than a guy named Bland who nobody's ever heard of, you know, winning the U.S. You win the United States Championship. He's not even from the United States. Secondly, the guy who leads this early on in the tournament, who you've never heard of before, is kind of like the guy in the who's not a main character in the horror movie who you know is going to die early on in the horror movie.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is Game Time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
All right, coming up next, I do want to get into some of these coaching changes and to some of these things that are taking place around the NBA. You know, one such move happened in Dallas today. Do I think it's a major move? Probably not, right? Dirk Nowitzki returns as a special advisor. But what does it speak more to? Right? What is it more about? I'll give you my thoughts. That's upcoming next on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on a Friday on Fox Sports Radio.